Welcome to Explode Your Coaching Business Podcast, helping coaches, speakers, and trainers to live their purpose, grow their business, and make an impact in the world. Now, here's your host, Simona Vincenzi.
E ciao a tutti, belli e brutti. Here is Simone Vincenzi from Explode Your Coaching Business Podcast, brought to you by gtex.org.uk, growing together exponentially. And as I said, I am your host, the one and the only, the super sexy Simone Vincenzi. And this is the podcast for coaches, speakers, and trainers who want to grow their businesses by making an impact in the world. Today's episode, as usual, is sponsored by Explode Your Coaching Business Training, a one-day intensive training where we get you to create your coaching business from scratch. It's amazing. So check it out at www.gtex.org.uk/start. Now I'm so excited, pumping, buzzing, and whatever else I can say about this interview, because I have Ankush Jain. Now, Ankush is a three principle coach, and he has built a successful and thriving coaching 101 practice in record time. Now, sometimes you go online and you see that you need to have the latest funnel, you need to use webinars, or you need to start events. But actually, there is a big power in just sticking in coaching 101. First of all, it's easy, cost effective, and you can create incredible impact and value for your client. So we are going to be talking about this and how can you start a thriving 101 coaching business. Now, if you want to reach to me after the episode or during the episode, or you just want to invite me out for a coffee or buy me a dinner, I'm vegan, so remember that, or you want to get me out for a basketball game, I'm always up for it. You can reach me at simone@gtex.org.uk. It comes straight into my inbox and I reply personally. Now, without further ado, let's start the music. Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode, number 16 of Explode Your Coaching Business Show Live. This is the place where we answer the question, what is the best business model for coaches, speakers, and trainers? How can I grow my business? This is the place where you can find all your answers. Every week, we help you with a new expert that is going to share with you maybe a slightly different strategy, maybe something that is working for them, so that can work also for you, hopefully. Now, tonight, we have the one and the only Ankush. Ankush is a three-principle coach. He mainly works with men. And I want to ask him also, why do you mainly work with men? That was a question that I had. But he mainly works with men and he mainly does one-to-one coaching, which is the topic of tonight, but as well as small intimate workshops. So Ankush, welcome to Explode Your Coaching Business Show. How are you tonight?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me on the show. I'm really looking forward to it.
That's awesome. Fantastic. So Ankush, first of all, before we start talking about how to start a thriving coaching practice one-to-one, one-on-one, why the heck did you get into coaching? What got you started in this, and in particular, why in the one-to-one way?
You cut out a tiny little bit just as you asked the question, but I think you said, why do you need to be a coach? Why do you need to have a
why
coach?
Did you start it?
Or why did I start coaching? You know, it's a great question. And in fact, for many years, I kind of put off coaching, right? Like I look back now and realize that I was always meant to do this. And it was as early as I started coaching really 2012, but it was as early as 2007 that, you know, I was always into personal development. I did training programs. I had the odd coach here or there. And people would say to me, you're really good at this. Like, you actually implement what you learn. And I guess as coaches and trainers, you know, we've seen that we've either gone to workshops or we've delivered training or coaching where it's not the content, it's not the information. People just don't act on it. And for me, I was someone that always acted on that. And so I got, you know, I got a lot of benefit out of it. And people would say to me, hey, why don't you do this? You could be a coach. And I used to give them various reasons as to why I wouldn't do that. But the truth is that deep down inside, I was scared, you know. And so it wasn't a case of why did I start coaching? It was more of a case of when I got rid of that fear, it was kind of very natural for me to do that.
Yeah, and I remember when we had our first conversation, our chat, it was that a couple of weeks ago, right, when we met, that what really got attracted and really wanted you to be here, it was because of your attitude. You're an action taker. And that reminded me a lot about myself and the way I do, because I found that there were a lot of people that they just go there and sit in seminars, and then they do nothing with what they learn. But actually, when you learn and when you grow, is actually when you apply the stuff that you learn. So tell us a bit more. That's a really interesting Ankush.
Yeah, I mean, there are other things as well. You're absolutely right. And, you know, as you're talking, I'm thinking about the opposite. You know, when I speak to coaches, I speak to a lot of coaches, people either contacting me going, hey, what are you doing? I want to do that. Or people that are starting out or struggling, or people that I meet who are doing well. And especially newer coaches, one thing I ask them is, what attracts you to this profession, right? And the red flag for me is people that turn around and go, well, it's a lifestyle thing. It means I can work a few hours a month and it'll fit around my lifestyle. And that to me is just the biggest red flag of like, this is not the profession for you, right? You're going to really struggle most probably. And so for me, when I started this profession, when I started getting into coaching, I was actually told by one of the first people I spoke to, just so that you know, most people don't make money in coaching. This is, you know, it's not that easy. A lot of people come into this and they decide it's not really coaching they want to do, it's something else. And I was kind of given all the reasons not to do this. And I listened to the person who told me and they said, great, that's fine for other people. I'm a coach. This is what I want to do.
And this is something which really I think comes down to integrity, because a lot of people start telling you why you should go into this industry. Yes, you can work when you want. For example, this morning at 8 o'clock, I was there having my basketball training, right? I couldn't have done this in a normal job, but I could do all the reasons why you could and you should become a coach. But they don't tell you actually what's the reality that before getting started, when you are really there pulling your teeth and getting your first clients, it's a lot of work, it's a lot of hours, there is a lot to learn. In particular, if you know nothing about business. And that's the thing which is great, that you had this insight at the beginning where people could say to you, actually, these are the reasons why you shouldn't go in this industry.
Yeah. And you know, I love business. And, you know, if you and I are both based in the UK, one kind of sector that has done well in the last, say, 5, 6, 7 years is property. And about a year before I became a coach, I looked at property, right? And everything made logical sense, right? It was a good investment. Property was cheap. I went to some trainings. And there was something in me which was just like, I got to the stage where I was about to, you know, press the button. I actually go out to do something. And it just didn't feel right for me. Yeah. And it was funny because when I came to coaching, there were all these reasons not to do it, right? It was like the exact opposite. And there was something in me which was just like, no, this is what I really want to do. And I don't care if it's difficult. I know that if I don't do this, I'm going to regret it. Like, I need to at least go and try this out.
Yeah. And so from there, then you discovered it was your passion. Now, I meet a lot of people, and a lot of people, they start there and ask me, okay, how then from my passion and from my purpose, this is what I want to do. This is my life. This is me. I was born for this. Now, how do I start? And so the question I want to ask you is, before we go into that, is now, why did you choose one-to-one coaching? Because now in our conversation, we talked about different trends. There are seminars, there are webinars, there are group coaching. So, and it's something that I do and I love doing. But now you talked about a lot of coaching one-to-one. So why did you find that as your preferred way?
Well, I want to be honest, Simone. At the beginning, I probably wasn't as clear that it was my preferred way. So it was part of what I wanted to do. I wanted to be a coach. I wanted to help people. Now, at the beginning, I didn't really know what I wanted. You know, I was just trying it out. So I knew, you know, there's kind of three main areas, you know, and I say that I kind of do all of them, although the vast majority of what I do is one-on-one coaching. You've got the one-on-one work. You've then got group events, and then you've got kind of public speaking. And I guess you've also got writing as well. You know, some people are authors in this kind of industry. And for me, it was just going and trying things out and seeing what connected with me. Now, I see a lot of people, they kind of have a favorite. Like they've kind of got, well, they do some one-on-one, but they prefer group trainings. Or, you know, they like one-on-one, but they actually really like writing and they really want to be authors. And there's some people who go, well, you know what? I take on some one-on-one, but I really like being on a stage and I love talking to groups. So yeah. There's nothing wrong with that. And I would say if you're new to this, go and try out all of these things. Like go and experiment, go with where your heart takes you. See what like, oh, because you've got so much to explore. Like you said, there's so many ways. And just go and test things out. For me, one thing I like about one-on-one coaching is I get to go really, really deep with a person. And so for me, because I do other things, but for me, when I'm in one-on-one coaching, I can have the maximum impact on someone compared to anything else. And I do some group work, you know, and the group work I do, I try and make it as amazing as possible. And I did one a few weeks ago, I think that's when we spoke, and it was incredible. Yeah. And what I say to my group, even though I'm delivering the group, and I tell them, by the way, this is not the same as one-on-one coaching. It's not the same. It can't be. Whatever you do, whether you do a group of 10 people, or you do a group of 100 people, when it's one-on-one, you get to tailor make it, if you want, or I certainly do, exactly to that person's specific needs. And what I love about what I do, and I guess we're talking about that now, is for me, I love not having an out-of-the-box solution for people because people aren't out of the box. People are all individuals, they're all unique. So I really enjoy the creativity that this profession gives me, that I can really think of a client and just go, why don't we do this? Because I get to see that is helpful for them. It's not like, oh, well, I've been taught these like, five things.
I remember looking at different coaching and something which is now already in this industry, looking at the future of the industry and also the present of the industry, there is a lot of talk about creating your signature program and creating your methodology. And what you're saying here is that there is almost an experience which is custom made for your client. So the question I would love to ask you is, in the growth of your business, do you use a specific methodology that you rely on, or that, you know, it's like your signature program? Or are you just, not just, are you talking and exploring things with your clients and that evolves every time? Where are you standing in the spectrum?
A bit of both.
I love you.
Yeah, a bit of both. So I call myself a three principles coach. Now, for people who don't know what that is, it's kind of a niche part of psychology and it explains how the mind works. It's not really a methodology because that to me is an understanding. Now, what I do with a client doesn't come to me for three principles coaching, right? A client doesn't necessarily come to you for NLP or hypnosis or anything. In my opinion, what they come to you is to help them. They've got a problem, they've got an issue, or they've got a goal. They want you to help them. So that's kind of what I do. So even though I rely on certain things, and I also use whatever in the world makes sense to me, whatever I've got at my disposal to help the person, that's really what I'm focused on. So whilst I do rely, if you like, that is the underlying piece behind everything I do, which is the three principles, I also know that, you know, I'm not going to do the same as everyone else. Number one, because I don't enjoy it. And number two, if I did like a product and just the same as what everyone else is doing, you don't get paid well for that. I mean, I wouldn't pay well for that. If I went to someone and they went, okay, this is my out-of-the-box solution, I wouldn't pay as much for someone who said to me, Ankush, I'm designing something specifically for you in mind, and we are going to help you achieve whatever I've told them I want to achieve. And I'm going to use
that's great. And we have Annie, which is saying, "I'm a control freak. I will never go to anyone for hypnosis." Actually, I've been hypnotized for different things. I've been hypnotized. Also, I did a stage hypnosis. I got a person getting me to forget my name, the number 3. So it's been incredible. But then these are not the non-therapeutic stuff. But moving on, I just digressed a minute on that. I agree with you what you're saying, Ankushin, being there for the client. And yes, you use the framework, which is the 3 principle framework. But then you are focused more in the client than the framework. Because what I found is that I think that there are some people, and this is why clients sometimes don't have a great experience, because they say, no, this is my way, follow these steps. But maybe one step doesn't resonate with one of your clients. So what do you do with that? So you as a coach is about reading your client, what works for you, what doesn't, what works for them and what doesn't work for them. So then you can adapt the principles in order to make them fit what is the client want. So now the question is, Ankush, okay, I'm there, I'm a coach, I'm starting out, I want to coach one-to-one, I tested different things. How the heck I build a thriving one-to-one coaching business, which is a question that our audience has today.
Well, I think it's really step by step, you know? A lot of people, a lot of coaches, I included, when I started out, was like, how can I go from 0 to 100, right? Like I wanted all the steps. I wanted all the answers. I wanted to know it all before starting out. And for me, really what was incredibly helpful is one client at a time. You want to build a successful, thriving coaching practice. You don't need to worry about where you're going to get 10 clients from. You don't need to worry about where you're going to get 5 clients from. Just look at your next client. Who is one person you can serve? And I still do this. I still do this because if I think in multiples, it stresses me out, right? You know, like how much, I don't know where I'm going to get my next 5 clients from.
Like, how do I get 1 million followers? So maybe someone will buy my product and service. Then I don't know where to start. But yeah, it makes sense when you're saying one person.
That's it. And whatever kind of coaching you do, whoever you are on this call, you know, and you can do this right now. I mean, if you've got a piece of paper in front of you, feel free to do this right now. Just even take 2 seconds to stop and think, who is one person in my life that I can help? And I don't mean who is one person in my life that can pay me. This is a difference. Who is one person in my life that I can help? Who is one person in my life that I can help them achieve what they want? Who is one person in my life I can help them solve a problem that they have? Who is one person in my life that, knowing what I know, I will help them achieve their goal quicker than if they didn't work with me. And that's it. And you just work one person at a time. And when you're with that one person, they are, you know, they're your everything. I had a coaching conversation with someone earlier this week, and they already had a coach, but they reached out to me and I had a conversation with them, and they reached back to me today and they said, and this is becoming more and more common for me. They said, you know what? I want to work with you. And the reason I want to work with you is because you're present. And so one of the biggest things I learned in growing my coaching practice is really being there for that client. Because if you're not there, if you're like, oh, okay, I'm on this coaching call, right? When do I get to the sales pitch? Shit, I'm worrying about like what my proposal is going to be. And then you think about, or you've got the client and you're thinking, oh, when am I going to get my next client? You're never really there. And when you're never really there, they feel that. You're not as impactful. Right. You know, I'm just going to keep rolling out with things as they come to me. Here's another thing. You want to grow your coaching practice, do good work, because that's the way you get referrals. Right. If you think you're going to build a thriving coaching practice by being really average or just focusing on sales, I've got news for you. You're probably going to struggle. Whereas, you know, you go and sit with someone and you give them your absolute best, especially if you're starting out, people will get scared. Best stuff away, why will they renew, why will they hire me more, why, you know, why will they even pay me if it's a prospect call? But what I found is the opposite is true. Give your best stuff away, really serve the person as best as you can, and if you do that, you are 10 times more likely to get hired.
Can I jump in with a question?
Go for it, Artie.
At HerTube TV Arts ask, can you speak about how to set coaching fees?
Go for it. We have a question. How to set coaching fees? Thank you very much at HerTube TV.
Okay. I've got a certain view on this, and I know coaches have got different views. Anything I say, by the way, is my opinion, and I'm really, really, really happy for people to do the exact opposite of what I say. You can violently disagree with me. I'm just going to give my opinion here. And one thing that I found that worked for me and people that I, coaches that I work with, what I encourage them to do is incremental, right? Because you can start out and you can be like, well, I want to be charging £1,000 a client. I want to be charging £5,000 a client. I want to be charging £20,000 a client. But inside you like really shake at that. Well, you know what? Start off on a number that you're comfortable with and then progressively become, you know, move it out and grow it. But it really doesn't matter because the fee is whatever you feel, right? So when I started out, my fee was £50. And the reason it was £50 is I had a couple of practice sessions and someone said, I want to pay you for that. And they said, I feel like paying you £50 a session. I went, great. And they paid me £100 for these two sessions that I'd done free of charge, just literally a few weeks into my training. So that became my fee. And then over time, I increased it and I increased it and I increased it, right? And it's a full range right now. But it really is whatever you decide. And it's not really that important. People get really hung up about the fee. One thing that I've come to realize is it's never about the fee, right? If someone's talking to me and they really want to work with me, it's never about the fee, right? Because this is the thing as well. And this, again, you don't need to work like this. Some people are very rigid. I'm not. If someone really wants to work with me, I'm flexible, not in terms of I will discount my rates, but I'm flexible. There are lots of different ways someone can experience me, right? Because I make things bespoke. Someone can work with me every single week and we can have a 2-hour conversation. Of course, that's going to be a different price point to speaking once every 3 weeks and for a shorter amount of time. I've recently taken on a coaching client for the first time ever on an email only basis because they really wanted to work with me, but their budget wasn't high enough. It's never about the fee, right? It's never about the fee. And for me, it's never about the fee. It's always about, can I help this person? Is this of service, right? So don't worry about the fee. If you're worrying about the fee, I'm guessing you're starting out. Just start getting paid, right? Whatever it is, and start building on it and growing it. And so I don't know if that answers your question.
Yeah, I think hopefully that answered your question. And I think that that what happens to a lot of people when they're starting out is, again, the big question is how much do they get paid? Start with what feels comfortable for you. Sometimes the advice that I give, which is very in alignment with what Ankush says, is start with something that feels a bargain for the other person, where you feel that no matter how much you're charging, that feels a bargain for the other person, because you are going to act in this way. So when I started for free and that was a bargain for the other person. Then £30 was a bargain for the other person. Then £100 was a bargain for the other person. Then £500 was a bargain for the other person, and then moving up the scale. So it's all about how much do you feel inside that you can deliver confidently and back up those results, and you being confident in delivering that rate as well. Because if you're thinking, say, oh, I got to start charging £2,000 for one session from the beginning, but you never even sold maybe £50 sessions, that might be too much of a stretch. And you might be like, you're feeling a fraud inside, which people feel the energy, right? So you want to be coherent with how the way you feel about your pricing. And I think this is an industry when you can really, as Ankush said before, you can really choose your price. Like, no one can dictate the price of your product or service because it's an industry based on people. So if someone wants to work with you, we'll pay the price that you want. Now, if you're pricing maybe yourself too high compared to the reach that you have at the moment, you might be out of business very soon. So look at also how many people know you. There's different things, but as Ankush said, start with what feels comfortable for you. Find your own rate. That's we have I love not committed answer, supply and demand, my friends. Yes, Kevin. Kevin is always there. At Kevin Arrow, guys. Make sure you follow Kevin Arrow. He's awesome. Okay, now If you have any other questions, guys, make sure you write them down so we can keep going.
Can I say one more thing about that? So,
go for it.
Because this comes back to coaching as well. There was a guy called Nathaniel Brandon who was a great philosopher and psychologist, therapist. And one thing he used to say was, what can you do if someone came to him with a problem or they wanted to achieve something? What can you do 2% better? What can you do 5% better? And this really applies to our comfort zone as well. And it really applies to pricing, right? So if you're in a situation where you're like, oh, I'm really, really scared to charge £1,000, right? Mm-hmm. Well, what are you comfortable with, right? I don't know. I'm comfortable with 50 quid or I'm comfortable with £100, right? Just push yourself 2%, 5% at a time. Take it slow. And this is the cool thing about coaching. There's nowhere to hide. You know, you can go into other professions and you can have parts of you that are hidden. Coaching, there's nowhere to hide. It's all out there. So you've got to apply this to yourself. Push yourself 2 and 5% out of your comfort zone. Pricing is a great place where this is going to show up. And as you do that, you're going to be living what you teach to other people. So I just wanted to throw that in there as well.
And it's really important what you said, is becoming the living embodiment of your teachings. Because you find that a lot of people, we have a lot of people that they might say, okay, I'll teach you how to have thousands of followers on Twitter so you can grow your business. And then you look at their Twitter account, 3 crickets. So you got to be coherent. You got to say to really walk your talk. So, for example, here in this room, we have Annie, and she's awesome, guys. Make sure you follow Annie. And she's rebranding her business today because she had an incredible success in marketing your podcast, reaching hundreds of thousands of people. And that's what she's going to. But she has a really good track record. So whenever you go into a business, whenever you go into a coaching, look at, what is the track record I have? What is the thing that I am doing so that other people can model that as well? And I'm not a fraud. Like, I'm really walking my dog. That's the most important thing. And I don't think that there are too many people that read an NLP book and they say, I'm a coach. So now, Ankush, we are here, and we have Kevin that says, walk like an Egyptian. Okay, we can walk like an Egyptian. We have that. And now the question for you, Ankush, is, okay, now I found my fee, and I got my rate. What's next? I'm delivering value. I'm focusing one client at a time. Then what's next?
I don't want to make it too complicated for people, right? You know, I want to make it simple, and people try and overcomplicate things by going, well, what else do I need to know? What else do I need to know? And, you know, I wrote a post the other day. I run a coaching group, and I wrote a post for it. I said, look, the two things that I find that are really, really, that I look for, if I see the person do these two things, I think they're going to be a success as a coach, right? And the two things are, one, taking action, and two, having a coach, right? That's it. And those, everything else kind of fits around that. Because like we said, we've been talking the same thing through this call. There's no one way to do this, right? I've got my own way. People are going to do it different ways. I coach coaches, and I coach coaches who do things differently to me, because I know it's not one way for everyone. But going out and experimenting, going out and testing things out, going out failing and making mistakes, it's such an important thing. And almost every time, not always, but almost every time when I meet a coach who's struggling, it's because they're not doing anything, right? Or I say, how many calls are you having a day? Oh, a day? I don't know. I'm having two a week. Well, if you're speaking to two people a week, how are you going to fill your practice? Right? I sometimes coach people, and I'm saying, right, okay, they tell me what's going on. I'm like, oh, here is a way for you to get 6 prospect calls in the calendar, right? And I point something out to them. This happened to a client of mine a few weeks ago. 2 weeks later, we talk. Did you do that? Oh, no, I haven't. And they want to talk about something else. And I'm like, well, hold on, let's come back. This is the action you need to take in order to do well. 2 weeks later, have you done that? No, but they want to talk about doing a training. Okay, I'm going to put the phone down. I'm going to you phone me back when you've taken that action. Right? They phone me back half an hour later. I've got 7 calls booked in. It's just about taking the action, right? It's mm-hmm. so important. And the second thing is, and I didn't used to say this because it sounds so self-serving, especially for coach. I mean, for you, for me, if we work with coaches, it sounds so self-serving. But until I got a good coach, and I mean a good coach, not just anyone, experience them, make sure they're a good fit for you. But when I got a good coach, my coaching business took off. Making sure you are taking the product yourself. It's like a doctor who doesn't visit doctors. I don't trust doctors. I don't need a doctor. Well, would you go to a doctor like that? No. But people think that about coaching. Oh, yeah, I'm a coach. I did a training course. I did a 6-week online training course. Now I'm a coach. Right. Have you got a coach? Oh, I don't need a coach. Why should I have a coach for? Well, if you don't think coaching is any good, why is anyone going to buy something off you where you don't get the products free? Right?
Exactly.
And they don't see that. And there are so many ways. By the way, you don't need to hire, apologies, you don't need to hire Simone or do anything with him. You don't need to work with me. But there are so many ways to go and get coaching. There is no excuse not to have a coach. There are hundreds of coaches out there. Go and connect with someone. Say, do you want to swap a coaching session? Right? I encourage a lot of people to do this. There is no excuse. And
there is, in fact, here, Kevin, which is talking about all businesses need a coach. And what type of coach might be different? And they are hiring a writing coach. Now, Kevin Arrow, for those of you that don't know Kevin, he is really huge in blogging and helps businesses go out through blogging. Now, if he is hiring a writing coach, that he made his business around blogging and writing, it really shows something about there is always another level, no matter what your skills are. And that's what I think a coach or a mentor is for, as you're saying, is about, okay, I know that I can get so far. What's the next level? Let me get someone that can help me to get to the next level. Now, sometimes you will need a coach. Sometimes you will need a mentor. But I completely agree with you. Is someone like, I have different coaches for my business and for my life as well. Why? Because it's important. I believe in my product. I believe in my services. And I believe that I'm a human being like everyone else. I'm a great human being, great at coaching, but I'm a human being. I need my coach as well.
And you can talk about that. You know, you said, okay, so what else? I love sharing resources with people. You know, it's very rare I'll have a coaching conversation with someone and I won't give them a gift of some kind, right? Like an audio, or I'll tell them to get a book, or I'll send them a book or something. Now, I was talking to a coach recently, and I've started working with them. I've given them some resources, and they were like, oh, well, what do I do? I'm like, you're learning so much. Share it, right? There's a great guy, Aaron Cleon, right? He writes Steal Like an Artist, and there's another book, which is, I forgot what this the second book's called, right? But the whole thing about the second book was like, you don't need to be the finished article. You don't need to be Anthony Robbins or Steve Hardison or, I don't know, whoever else is out there, right? Michael Neal or any top coach. You can share where you are right now. So whatever you learn, share it. So like, I love reading. I read loads and loads of books now. I think that's part of my professional development. And if I see something good in a book, right, straight away, photograph, put it on Facebook. If I don't want to stop reading, take a photograph, and next time I get into my phone and I'm looking at my photos, oh yeah, that's a great photo. Put it online, share what I learned from it. And it's like helping people, right? You're helping people all the time. You're sharing where your journey's at. I think that's really, really useful. And people kind of overlook that. They think they need to be perfect. You really don't. In fact, perfection pushes people away from you. People just want to relate and connect to you.
Exactly. It's definitely true. You want to be who you are and share, because at the end of the day, also the previous knowledge, like all knowledge is built on top of previous knowledge. You cannot get to the end result if you don't go through the different steps. So and I agree with what you're saying, by you even not sharing what you've learned from other people or what you're learning, then you actually not, you're preventing yourself maybe to come up with an idea that can move the market forward or that can move your clients forward. You never know what you're learning and the sharing of the learning, what that can lead to. And I'm definitely on board with that. So if someone is starting out, I think that is a great thing. It was, as you suggested, look at where you are right now. Look at the things that you have learned. And would you quote where you have learned it from, or would you not quote? What are your thoughts about that?
Absolutely quote. There's a coach who will remain nameless who shares things, and I find doesn't talk about where they've come from, doesn't talk about where they've learned things from. And what I see is I do the exact opposite. I kind of overly do it. I will, anyone 5 years ago, if I learned something from someone and I think it's relevant now, I will quote the person. This guy helped me 5 years ago to learn this. This is what I learned from this person. That book there helped me 10 years ago. I might have moved on incredibly, right? Think and Grow Rich. How to Win Friends and Influence People. One of the first personal development books I read. You know, everyone talks about it. I've moved on a lot from that. It was like, I don't know how many years ago, 12, 13 years ago, I read that book. But I will still talk about it and say, that book was helpful to me to learn this. This is what I got from the book. And again, people, I say me, right? Forget people. What I did was I would try and make it like, no, I need to say what I know. I need to be an expert. I need to be perfect. I can't be vulnerable. And it's like my journey through coaching has been that, you know, unlearning that or unthinking that, which is no, share everything. This is what I know. This is where I'm getting it from. Hey, this is the latest thing that I've learned. That is my secret thing. Share it, right? Put it all out there. Tell people where you've got it from. Tell who are your mentors, who are your coaches, who you work with, all of that. And don't be afraid to give props to people, right? And don't be afraid to say, like, I did this recently where I just said, oh my God, I just saw this and I didn't see this before. Now, part of me, oh my God, people are going to think I'm like, you didn't know that? Why do we hire you? But in fact, it had the opposite effect. It was like, wow, I'm at where you were. You just had this shift. I want the shift. And so, you know, it's the completely opposite. And so this is great for new coaches, you know, for in a way, I think as you get established in coaching, your market changes, right? The people that I coach now are probably going to be different than the people I coached a few years ago. And the people I coach in 5 years time are going to be very different. You know, we're at different stages. And so I've heard it say, and I think it's a good strategy, is, you know, find a coach who's maybe a couple of steps ahead of you. You know, you don't need someone who is the creme de la creme, if you like, especially if you're starting out. You can do
it. Why do you think finding someone? So, for example, if I would love, like, if I have the possibility, for example, and I'm starting out, I have the possibility to maybe work with Tony Robbins. Why would I choose someone who's just a couple of steps ahead rather than Tony Robbins? What are your thoughts on that?
Well, first of all, if you want to hire Tony Robbins, I think it's $1 million. So there's a practical reason for that. And it's true with other coaches. So a lot of people, when they're starting out, they want to dip their toe in. They're actually not sure if they really want to do coaching. So that's one piece. But the other piece is, I remember I was learning things as I was training to be a coach, and I would tell my trainer. So I did a lot of training with Jamie Smart. And what I said to Jamie is, Jamie, I ran my first workshop. What I didn't realize was when you run your workshop, you're on all the time. When I'm sitting in the audience, it's very different. I see you do a few bits here, a few bits there, you know, and it's a really lovely experience. When I'm on the other side, it's like I've got to think about it before. I'm thinking about it all day. I don't get a break during the break because people are coming and talking to me. It's constant. And he went, oh, yeah. And he, not in a bad way, but he'd learned that lesson 10 years earlier. So he'd forgotten. Now, when I learn that lesson, because I'm going through it, that might be helpful to someone. And what I see now is the same thing's happening for me. So I've learned my lessons and I forget the lessons that I learned and I'm onto new things. But someone who's maybe not as experienced as me, they might learn something, share it, which I will take for granted, and that will be really helpful to someone. So if you're a less experienced coach, there's nothing wrong with hiring a coach who's only a couple of steps ahead of you, because all you need is the next step. That's all you need to do.
And I completely agree with you in these terms. It's actually, I think that the industry now and people are looking for working with maybe some multi-billionaires or billionaires or people that have built massive businesses or even massive coaching businesses. But the reality is that even if you have the financial capability, and even if you have the finances to spend maybe £100,000 or £200,000 with a coach, because sometimes maybe even £20,000 or £30,000, whatever is going to be charged, even if you have the finances to make that happen, because you're starting out, because you are so early in the journey, you're not able to leverage what it actually could give you. Now, for example, I want to become the best speaker in the world, and I've never done public speaking before. I might have, for example, I think Les Brown Platinum Speaker Package is about 30 grand a year or something like that, 30 to 50 grand a year. I might have that money. But if I'm still afraid of public speaking, am I able to leverage the network of Les Brown or the events where Les Brown can put me? No. So I agree with you. And when you start, find someone a couple of steps ahead. When you're there on a level that you can really leverage the network, the knowledge, and the business expertise of someone who is already at that level, then go and join them. So always like, find someone who is looking for the next step, because so you can make it also your investment back. Like I had a friend, she's just starting her business. She doesn't even know that she wants to go into the industry. And she spent about £30,000 in a business mentorship. I'm like, I think it's a bit too early. You could have spent that money actually to put it in your business rather than the business mentorship when you took out a huge loan to pay for it.
Yeah. So, and I want to say something around that, you know, like, there's some really dangerous things out there, or what I think are dangerous. And some things that I think are touted to new coaches is you need to go all in and you need to mortgage your house to do it. And if you don't, then you're not really committed about this profession. I don't really buy that. You know, I don't think that's necessarily the right way to go. I and this is just my view. You go and do, which you will, everyone who's listening, you're going to do what makes sense to you. Trust your own gut, go with that. I always say that. I say to my clients, your gut trumps my good ideas any day of the week, right? Yeah. But what I will say is that I don't prescribe to that whole, like, you've got to go all in and put, you know, put yourself in real financial difficulties to hire the best person or do the training and then make it work. I'm much more of the style, if you like, or the methodology of, like I said, take it step by step. And there are so many easy ways to do that, right? You want to go and try out some coaching, go and work for a non-profit, go and work in the third sector, go and offer your experience. You know, you can go and get some great expertise for free. And I will say the person who goes and does, like you say, a £30,000 package, but then doesn't do anything with it versus the person who just constantly is taking action and failing and messing up, they're the person that's going to be successful. So, and again, people put themselves in this situation where this is something that no one talks about, right? People put themselves in a situation of real financial hardship for no reason. And when I went full time, what I did was I made sure I had some money put aside. I had some money put aside for a deposit for a house. I didn't buy the house. And I said, right, this money's here on the side. Should I need to use it? And I had that security. And I was like, I'm going to give myself a full year and I can earn no money and still pay for all my training and all my bills and everything else, right? And I'm going to be fine. And now when I run my business, I also have a thing of, I don't need any money this month for me to pay my bills or for me to pay my salary, right? I build up a buffer. So I think, again, using financial prudence is not necessarily a bad thing in this area, but people don't talk about it. And I really wanted to make that clear.
I agree massively with you, and I've been burned for that. I really was burned because I went into this, I'm going to build my coaching business and I'm going to build a six-figure business in 1 year. And then after 2 months, I was like, Mom, can you please pay my rent? So it was like, that didn't work. And then I lost everything and ended up being homeless. Now, who would want to hire a homeless coach? Question. And I know that there are a lot of people that go into this industry and they want to transform their life. Well, the first thing that they got to do is actually taking care about their personal life. Now, if you want to do it the hard way, I'm not saying that you cannot make it in this way, Because, for example, what I did, I went back into employment, get a part-time job, and scale and scale and scale. And then I left completely when I had my business that could pay for everything. And they had businesses that was lined up for me to help me and support me. Now, we've been running for 4 years. It took it for us because we didn't know where we started. It took us about a couple of years to make the full transition. So it's just for people to really consider what are the reality of the time scales. Now, there are also situations where you can immediately start a coaching business, and because maybe you have a network or you go into a niche where you were already maybe working in and you have already a lot of contacts, that can happen. For example, my business partner, Ben, he works in corporate and he works with the Adecco and big recruitment agency and designed their all sales training for £1 billion companies. Now, because he came back from that environment, when he came out, he said, hey, I'm a consultant. But he already built his network during the years working there. And now he's getting booked and booked and booked and booked. So see where you are. What is your network? What is it you can leverage right now? Because that's a really important step. I'm really loving this interview, Ankush. Artie, do we have any question or do you have any question for Ankush?
There's no questions at the moment, but I was just wondering if you can possibly talk about the three areas you use for your coaching.
Well, we probably use it all of the rest of the time in that because it's more of an experiential thing. But what I will say is that what it helped me to do. So if I look my first year in coaching, what I will say is delving deep into my kind of methodology, the three principles, it really got my house in order. Right now, when I came to coaching, I'd been around personal development for 10, 12 years. And I actually came to coaching because I thought, finally, I feel okay. Like finally, like I'm done. I'm good. I don't need another training course. I now want to help people. And I feel like that was a stage where I was ready to start learning. Like that, everything else was just getting me ready. And then the first year in coaching was, I did do a bit. Of course, I did coaching. Of course, I tried things out. Of course, I experimented. But really, the first year, the main thing that was for me in the first year was grounding, was like getting my own life in order. And really, the biggest impact that on my life in the first year was I was more efficient at work. I stopped procrastinating. I had much better relationships with my family, much better relationship with my siblings. I got rid of a whole load of thinking I had around money and insecurities. I went and took risks and actually got a job offer for my dream job. You know, there were a lot of things I did in that first year, which were very personal to me, right? And I think that's really important because like you were saying, Simone, who wants to hire a homeless coach? And there are a lot of people who come into this profession because they like training, they like coaching. But, you know, if you're not really with it, and I mean that in the nicest possible way, you know, how are you going to help other people? And I think there is something to that. It's not just if I follow my training. I don't believe that if you follow your training, then you can coach anyone, right? Like there's that saying, you can only go as deep as you've gone yourself. There's a guy called Sydney Banks used to say, you can only give away what you have. I really believe that. And I see it in myself that as I get deeper and deeper insights around how life is and how life works. And this is a fantastic profession because there's, like I said, there's nowhere to hide. Like it comes up all the time. The more I get my own house handled, the more I handle that stuff, the easier and easier it is for me to get clients because I'm more impactful in the prospect conversation, in the initial interactions with them. And when I'm working with them, I'm more impactful. So they long-term that I'll get referrals, they see it's valuable and all the rest of it. So, you know, I want to say whatever it is that you do, do it well and really make sure you're walking your talk. And I know there's a paradox between what I've said earlier and I'm okay with that. There's a paradox between going out and taking action and not being perfect, but getting your stuff in order. You can be on the journey. That's okay. But if you're not even on the journey, then that's worrying to me. If I met a coach and they weren't really sorting themselves out and they had massive blind spots and they weren't even aware of them and they weren't even working to fix them, that would be a worry for me if I was looking to hire someone.
Thank you, Ankush.
I've got a quick question here as well from Kevin. It says, how do you position yourself as a coach that can be taken seriously?
I don't. is the answer. I don't care about being taken seriously. I did a webinar last year and I wore fake Ray-Bans that were like Jamaican flag color. You know, like I take myself less and less seriously all the time. Because I used to be like, I spent so much of my life pretending, right? But people don't connect with that. People don't connect with my professional image of like, okay, this guy like knows what he's talking about. They connect with humanness. They connect when I'm real and authentic. So I don't position myself anywhere. I just connect with people. And again, you don't need to do this. There's other ways to do it. But the way I do it is I just connect with people. And some people think I'm an idiot. That's fine. You know, some people I have conversations with and they say, wow, you're so different to what we thought you were going to be. That's cool. But it's, why do people hire me? It's because we connect. It's all about connection. This industry, this profession is about connection. So I don't really care about positioning myself in any which way.
Interesting view. And I think that what Kevin meant is that not taking yourself seriously, but how do you get other people to understand, which you answered to this question, but how do you get other people to see you as trustworthy? Because I think that positioning is trust, in my opinion. That's my belief on that. And when you are connecting, then there is this trust. Obviously, you got to back up on the results, because you can be great at connecting with people, but actually you don't have a bloody clue about what they're doing. They are going to find out. So first of all, get your skills right and then use the power of connection, because then when you connect with them, then they will want to work with you because of you, because they're like you. The reality is that there are hundreds of thousands of people that are doing exactly what you do, and that are, if not good, even better than the way you're doing things. The fact is that they will work with you, because of who you are, because there is just one person in the planet like you. And as you said before, not taking yourself seriously, so people can connect with also the humorous side of yourself, like the way you are behind the scene. Not that,
oh, I have this persona that I have to maintain, right? Otherwise, people will not believe what I can do for them.
And this is a great thing. So thank you very much, Ankush. Now, we are in the last 10 minutes. Guys, if you have any other questions, please make sure you write them write down in the chat box or jump on the call. Artie, do you have any other question for Ankush in the meanwhile?
Your three principles, what are they?
So the three principles are really a psychology, or explain the psychology of the mind. And the three principles are mind, this principle of mind, the principle of thought, and the principle of consciousness. And again, if I talk about it, I would have spent an hour talking about that. But one of the, I'll kind of give you a big piece of it, right? So one of the key pieces that I work with people on is showing them the complete connection between thought and feeling. Because when people see that, it's massively, massively, massively transformative. I've done lots of things. I was in the self-development world for years before I came across them. I only came across them when I started coaching 4 years ago. And they are the biggest transformative tool. It's not really a tool, but they're the most transformative change work that I've ever come across. And when I came across them first, I wasn't planning on just using them or using them so much. I was like, okay, that's another thing I've got. And what I found is for myself, it helped change me so much that I really use them a lot with clients. And it shows up in all sorts of ways, from addictions, through to relationship, business relationships, personal relationships, you know, anything and everything. A big problem is that people believe their thinking, right? And they take it too seriously. And they believe it because they feel a certain way. So for me, one of the first realizations I had around this was when I used to be angry, I used to think that was telling me that I was really right. And one of the very first training I had around the three principles, what I got an insight around was, oh no, the opposite is true. Whenever I'm really angry or frustrated or pissed off, that's the time that I can least trust my own thinking. And that's what made a huge difference for me at work around procrastination, because I used to get an email come in. I'm sure lots of people can relate to this. You get an email come in, you're like, oh God, this, why has this person said this? I get really frustrated. And then I would think it meant that the other person was causing me to feel a certain way through their actions. Mm-hmm. And that would waste time, because I would waste time telling my colleague about it and complaining to my boss. And like, I need to go for a walk to clear my head. And when I did this training, I saw like, oh, okay, I don't need to trust my thinking here. I'm really like off base. And part of my brain would go, no, the person's an idiot. This feeling is telling you it's their fault and all the rest of it. And I'm like, well, no, maybe that's not true. And so I'd kind of come back to the present moment, if you like, and come back to just what I needed to do in a few minutes, and I'd get on with my day. And I was just like breezing through work. And, you know, I ran out of things to do, which never happened in my, I was in a job that the to-do list never ended. And within a couple of months, I was like, I've run out of things to do. And I started being really creative and coming up with different ideas, which my boss are like, what's come over you in the last few months? So that's just kind of one example of how impactful this stuff is.
That's brilliant. Thank you very much for that. And building, we have one more comment from Walter.
It says, building those relationships are key to trust and authority to be successful.
Yeah. And I believe in that when you're building those relationships, when you're consistent in building those relationships, when you are yourself, when you are genuine, when you are there to help and support, there is no other better marketing than that. Than just being of, you were talking in our conversation on the phone about the value, about being there for the client, about being present, about having, making them have an incredible experience. For example, we did an event, was that last weekend, on how to create events that sell, because for me, my thing is events, and what I love is public speaking and training and delivering. Now, from the event that we did with Gary Vaynerchuk, I had a box of about 25 books of, no, about 35, 40 books of Gary Vee that were left from the event. So what I did, I decided to give it to all my clients that were there, just say, hey, this is for you, this is for you, this is for you. Now, it was something that wasn't expected and they appreciated it. So it's something, think about what is that you can do for your client which can go the extra mile and help them out in a way that they will be raving about you and they will want to recommend you. So Ankush, now you have delivered us great value. It's been one of the best interviews we've ever done. And I'm really looking forward to publishing this content on the podcast now. Question is, how can people reach you? How can people get in touch with you if they want to be coached by you, or simply invite you out for a coffee, or buying you an ice cream? I don't know. How can people get in touch with you if you eat ice creams?
Yeah, absolutely. So they can get hold of me the best way is through my website, ankushjain.co.uk. There's a little contact me tab on that, and they can, you know, just fill that in and get back to me, and I'll get back to them. And I totally agree with what you're saying, Simone. You know, give so agree. Give value. You know, exceed clients' expectations. It's really, really important. I wish we had another hour, because, you know, we've just scratched the surface today. But, you know, if anyone's got any questions, then do shout out. Sorry, go on.
Ankush, can you repeat your website address again, please?
Yeah, it's Ankush Jain, ankushjain.co.uk.
Mm-hmm. Lovely, thank you.
And we will publish this also on the blog post and on the show notes, also on YouTube. That's going to be everywhere, so that people can connect with you and really talk to you and experience the transformation that you can offer, Ankush. Well, it's been an incredible interview. Guys, thank you very much. For those of you that are in the room, which is Leon, then who else do we have? Was that Ali? Then we have Naveen. I hope I'm pronouncing the name right. Gina, we have Rita. Then we have Audrey, we have Walter, we have Kevin. Who else do we have? Michael. Oh, that's awesome. And obviously, again, thank you very much, Artie, for being always awesome. And I'm looking forward to reading the amazing blog post that you're going to write about this interview. Ankush, again, thank you very, very much for being with us tonight. I'm looking forward to having another interview with you in another future episode. I had a great time. And always, for everyone who is listening, always remember, guys, live with purpose. Ciao.
Thank you very much.